All lines are now bridged.
All right, thank you very much, and hello everyone, and welcome to the HITECH Annual Report Workgroup. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we are really glad that you can be with us today. Sorry we're running a few minutes behind. I'd like to welcome one of our co-chairs, Carolyn Peterson, and the other co-chair, Aaron Murray, will be joining us shortly. And we do have two of our workgroup members with us today, Brett Oliver and Stephen Lane, and Jim Gerges may be joining us a little bit later. So I'd now like to turn it over to Carolyn to get us started. Carolyn?
Thanks, Mike, and good morning, good day, everyone. I guess some folks are it's afternoon. We really appreciate your making time from your day to help us further advance progress on the fiscal year 21 annual report. We are getting closer, and it's exciting to see it coming together. So what we'll be doing today is taking a look at the partial draft, focusing a lot on the table that goes in the executive summary and also some of the progress report sections. We have a period for public comment, and then we will be adjourning. If you could advance the slides, please. So here's our standard meeting schedule. We're in the November 16 meeting today. We have one in December, about a month from now. And then there will be additional meetings of the work group in January, February, or March as needed to get that ready to go to the full HITECH. And as I think we've talked about before, my term on the HITECH ends in December. So that is work you all will be carrying forward. Next slide, please. And then this is just a rough preview of dates. I understand we don't have specific dates yet for the January-February meetings, but I'm sure Mike will provide that when he has those finalized. Next slide, please. So here's what we're looking at today, again, just to look at some of that table in the executive summary area, the partial draft of the report, and also to have some discussion about taking this forward. Next slide. So let's pull up the document that we're going to be looking at today, and we'll get started. I know this is going to be pretty tiny for the members. I believe you were sent a copy of this in your packets, and it might be easier to try to read it in that version.
Also, Carolyn, it's within Adobe, you can go to full screen for the presentation, so it makes it quite readable.
Are you able to do that, ONC?
No, we are, as individual participants.
Okay.
We can pop in and out of full screen. There's a little icon at the upper right of the display screen. Unless you need to really actively manage, you know, monitor the chat. That's a good way to do these.
Yeah, I like it even bigger than the full screen, so I usually just open up the document myself. But I have a good-sized monitor. I'm not doing it on a tablet or a smartphone, so because it helps me. Anyway, it looks like that first comment has to do with this is in the target area about technologies that support public health. The first comment, if we need to make, we want to make the topic more specific, and what do we mean by rules of the road? For example, in the recommended HITECH activity for the item on the first line.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a pretty vague term. Are we talking about legislation? Are we talking about rulemaking? I mean, this is a HITECH activity, so we can't do any of that. So we probably couldn't identify them. We could suggest them. We could suggest them to ONC for potential incorporation in future rulemaking.
I don't know that we really know what the best practices are yet, but we could certainly
provide
guidance. Rather than identify rules of the road, maybe provide guidance.
That makes sense.
What do you think, Brett?
Yeah, I like that better. What do you think about data standardization? That seems like a little bit more in our purview.
Well, it can go be, I mean, I think the guidance should go beyond data standardization, right? I mean, we can talk about data transmission methods, we can talk about privacy, security, you know, consent. I mean, there's all sorts of things beyond data standards that we might want to comment on here, I would think.
I guess my point is it all guidance, or did you want something more specific for the data standardization, or do you feel like that's not there yet either? I get the reporting and the public health systems and things that are just too numerous and nebulous right now to perhaps give a best practice on, but is the data standardization piece one that we could?
Oh, I see. Yeah, and this recommendation is specific to the identified gap related to quality and standardization. It's interesting, the gap says improvement of data quality, data standardization, and existing public health data systems. I mean, that's you got the data, the quality, and the systems themselves. That's just such a broad area.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, we did have, 52 recommendations from the Public Health Data Systems Task Force. We can certainly break it out into another topic if that seems like a good idea.
This is Michelle. One thing I want to point out about this line item, and you can give us feedback if you like this or think we went too far. When the contractor is helping me write up the landscape analysis, they found it very difficult to split out things that were in the infrastructure line item versus the public health data systems line item. So they tried combining them, and we actually pulled back a little bit and said, wait, here's a happy medium. Let's not put too much in one line. So there's still room to split it back out, but things are so related and overlapping between those two that it got hard to write about it and keep them separate. So that's why it got combined like this. But that's one thing that's still circulating at ONC is, does this work or not work? So we kind of want feedback on that, and that's the comment right above this. But I think you're touching on that maybe it's some areas are a little broad. Although we just cut and paste, you'll see it in the crosswalk. We didn't, in this table, we didn't try to rework the wording. We just sort of cut and paste things together. So let us know what you think about that and if that's causing other problems in defining activities.
Yeah, I think I understand the reason for combining it, and I don't think it's the end of the world, but it does lead to this sort of soup to nuts breadth within this line, but I think it's acceptable. Under the opportunities for the third column, publish best practices and guidance. I mean, again, I think we have to start with identifying and then publishing best practices.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Will we see those changes on the screen, Michelle, or are those things that you're making on your own notes and we should just keep going?
I'm making notes. I'm not yet hearing a change other than the rules of the road phrase maybe should be best practices as suggested. So
no,
maybe
I think,
simple change for now. Is that all you're saying so far?
I think what we said was provide guidance. We felt we're not at a place where we can really identify the best practices yet. But we could provide guidance on operational items.
So in the column 4, number 1, it would be provide guidance for operationalizing. In column 3, bullet 2, it would be identify and publish. Again, it'd be great if you could make the changes in real time, because then we'd know we'd sort of touched on things. We can resolve the comments, but whatever works for you guys.
Yeah, this group hasn't really worked that way exactly so far, but
there's
so many parties involved that we don't work live as much, but and we're also capturing things in our captions and transcription. So I will try to get the wording more precise in this section.
You want to go to the third comment, Carolyn?
Yeah, the align with.
Yeah, well, the suggestion though, no, the one about who, it doesn't need to be identified. It might be worth clarifying if known. That is to say, who would publish? Who would identify and publish? I mean, I presume that would be a task force, wouldn't it? That would work on that.
I mean, it could be a task force, or it could be an activity in conjunction with some related body, a standards body perhaps, or a quality group that is involved in evaluation in some way. I mean, something outside HITACH.
Well, or in this case, it might be OCR, since we're talking about the standards for minimum necessary data sets.
Yeah.
I think that's OCR. Don't they do minimum necessary? Don't they own HIPAA?
It might be a bit premature to try to figure out who the who is there.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do like identify and publish.
Yeah, I think that's a good improvement.
And then the align with, that's comment 4. Good comment. The phrase align with using, I mean, maybe it's align with the use of.
Or maybe
I think the comment is that they may not, you know, wholesale switch over to Firebase data structure, which is totally reasonable. But we want them to be able to, you know, send and receive data using Fire, et cetera. So I would suggest aligning with the use of.
Yeah, that could be, that helps, I think.
And then again, you collapsed a couple of others in the second row. Again, doesn't seem like the end of the world unless something in here doesn't make sense now.
Are you still on that first topic line, or are we moving to the second one now?
I'm going to get the second row here. Yeah, I think that they just suggested the collapse, and it doesn't look like they changed any other text.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. My wife does that too.
I'm in the best possible company then. Yeah, I don't have an issue with combining incentives and funding. Do you have any concerns, Brett?
I do not.
It's all money and we can't appropriate anything. So.
You know, at the bottom of that second column, there's a need to encourage more bidirectional interoperability between the public health and clinical data sets. I mean, it's really between public health and clinical data holders that we're talking about. Interoperability between data sets doesn't have any meaning to me personally.
Yeah, I agree. Can you capture that edit, Michelle?
Yep, I got it.
Great, thanks.
Shall we scroll down?
Sure. So that brings us to electronic case reporting, and the comment there is in the third column, the opportunities. Encourage public health authorities to respond more fully to healthcare providers upon receipt of a report about a reportable disease and health IT developers to enhance such capabilities. You guys probably are in the best position to suggest specific language about what's missing.
Yeah, I mean, so I've been pretty involved in this, and the point is that public health, the ECR standard includes the opportunity for the public health entity to return to the reporting provider a what's called a reportability response, and that was brilliant that they baked that into the standard under Digital Bridge, but very little has been done with that. And I think that this recommendation is really to say that public health should avail themselves of this opportunity to actually make this a bidirectional communication. And when you receive a report of a communicable disease or any other reportable condition, there are often opportunities for public health to communicate back to the provider, whether it's about, antibiotic resistance patterns in the community or recommended follow-up or recommended treatment, et cetera. So that's what this was meant to capture. And it's, I'm a little concerned. It looks like you guys collapsed ELR and ECR into a single row. And, they're sufficiently different that I would tend to keep them separate. Also, interestingly, I just learned yesterday from my friends at APHL that ECR has now been added by CMS to the requirements for MIPS, for ambulatory providers, for 2022, which is incredibly exciting because it had recently been added for hospitals for 2022. So now ECR is going to be a requirement for pretty much all providers by the end of next year. So a potential opportunity for HITECH to focus in on ECR in particular. And again, I think another reason to kind of have two separate rows for ELR and ECR.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Sorry, is there
something
you're talking about? I'm a little unclear where exactly this would occur.
So the top row on this page says electronic lab reporting and electronic case reporting. I'm just suggesting blow that back into two lines, one for ELR and one for ECR.
Okay. And then how do you see that affecting the gap opportunity and activities?
Well, so it looks like what we have in column three, both of those refer to ECR. There's not a specific recommendation about ELR in here. And in four, those are also recommendations about ECR. So I don't know if we had any specific opportunities or recommendations about ELR. Again, ELR is now going to be required in 2022, or incentivized, strongly incentivized, I should say, for hospitals. And ELR. So ELR, ECR, syndromic surveillance, and what's the fourth one? Were included in the hospital payment program rule right here. ECR, ELR, immunization, and syndromic surveillance were included in the hospital rule by CMS. And then the new MIPS eligible provider rule requires ECR and immunization registry reporting in 2022 calendar year. And I only learned this yesterday. but I must say the ECR team was very excited by the fact that CMS has basically now required everyone to implement this.
So under the key opportunities, that second bullet where Michelle had asked the question about respond more fully, do we need to say something, public health authorities, to encourage bi-directional communication?
Yes, and leveraging the available reportability response functionality in the ECR standard. I mean, it's fine to be that specific. asked us to be more specific. So, yeah, Carolyn, I guess when we put this first together and we said included ELR as a topic, were there any specific gaps or opportunities or recommendations that you remember coming up about ELR? I think I might have come to the table after that discussion.
You mean within the meetings of the annual report work group or the public health task force? Yeah. I don't remember anything off the top of my head, but I have to be honest that that's probably not the best filing system.
I mean, I remember a whole discussion in the public health task force that we had about that. I just don't know if there were key gaps that we wanted to bring forward into the report.
Let's see. Let me.
I mean, the report's long enough. I think if we could literally just narrow this down to ECR, just take ELR out of those first two columns and keep this, because of it, the opportunities and recommendations are all focused on ECR.
I'm trying to pull up a copy of the final recommendations for the other work group. To me, they're both important topics and they're separate topics. And if we took the time to create ELR recommendations, which I believe we did in the public health work group, we should have a separate line item here that references that in some way. Because all of that work was important. And there was, I think, pretty much across the board recognition within the public health work task force that we really needed to do something around that.
Yep. Yeah, I think pulling some of the nuggets out of that report makes sense.
I'm trying to pull it up here. So it looks like that's on page 8 to 10 of that report. And the recommendations, do you want to look at the lab reporting recommendations or the case reporting?
Lab. I think we got some good nuggets on case.
Okay. So this isn't a recommendation with a lot of subparts. Number 7, the overarching recommendation was ONC should coordinate with STLTs and federal partners to increase adoption and use of standardized ELR reports. ONC should explore adding a corresponding health IT certification for lab orders and results to improve and ensure end-to-end data flows between the provider lab and public health agency. Specifically, ONC should, and then here we've got 4 more specific points that things like add EHR and LIMS certification criteria for lab orders and results, align with previous ISP task force recommendations, work with CMS to certify labs on conformance to standards through CLIA, collaborate with CMS to add additional measures to MIPS, collaborate with CMS, CDC, providers, HIEs, and STLT to explore alternative paths for routing lab orders and results that leverage HIEs as intermediaries. And then there's a couple additional ones that get at standardizing technical capabilities to facilitate lab results, data collection, and sharing to and across the STLTs, including CDC and FDA laboratories, and working with CMS to ensure a standardized set of demographic information is both collected and sent from clinical and lab systems to public health in a timely manner through standards adoption. So lots and lots of good stuff here that we could reference. That's largely page 9 of the recommendations, page 8 and 9. I can forward that document if we need it, or if you want to pull it up on the screen so we can look at it more thoroughly. Or alternatively, we can work on this offline rather than trying to kind of on the fly, troubleshoot it during the meeting, and just now just focus on the rest of this report and hitting these edits and come up with some language that we agree on that can be inserted to review at the December meeting.
That sounds like a better use of our time. Let's get through the rest of these ONC comments.
Okay, I think so too. So it looks like the next one
So that next recommendation, investigate and document, that seems perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, and that's in the interoperability area. Do we need to adjust anything in the gap or opportunities?
This is Terry O'Malley speaking.
It looks good.
Okay.
Carolyn, you said earlier that you were rolling off of HITECH at the end of this calendar year. Is that right?
That's right.
That's incredibly sad.
We're
losing Terry, too.
It's amazing to me how fast 4 years went by.
Yeah.
It's astonishing how quickly it's gone.
Wow.
But yeah.
Okay, sorry. I was still kind of reeling that comment. Whoa, really?
No. You got to put up with me for one more meeting next month, and then it's all yours.
You'll have to sign up. You'll have to sign up for some task forces.
Well, it's not up to me. I think that's more about ONC than me.
Well, let's. Should we keep going?
Yes,
see what else
I was gonna say.
ONC. Who
so
was
now,
it at ONC who offered these comments? By the way, they're very good.
It was a collection of people.
Okay, great.
My branch, and then our contractor also did some work for me.
Wonderful. Thank you for that.
How'd you like them? Thanks.
Also, I love it. This is, we went through this on the USCDI task force too. It's like ONC figures out what the task force is going to suggest to ONC. It's a really nice collaboration. Makes it much more likely that these are going to have traction, right?
Well, I can say this work group, we really try hard to not do that. Like ONC, it collaborates, and that's in the law to say that we are supposed to collaborate together. But we really let the HITECH take the step forward and suggest to us what to talk about. We sort of help frame it in ways that are more likely to be acted upon to help
exactly,
the language.
Yeah.
But we try to stay away from suggesting ideas or directing things on this report, at least.
I think you guys do a good job with that balance.
Yeah, it's not easy sometimes, but I appreciate that.
Should we go to the next page?
Yeah, it looks like we're now coming to the privacy and security topic area. And the first one, the topic is public opinion about impact of use of health IT on consumers. The comment there is the link to privacy and security target area could be made clearer for this topic.
Right. So I think the idea is that we're interested in public opinion regarding the privacy and security of data as a result of consumers using health IT. But that was the link that we were missing. Not just the impact generally of the use of health IT, but the impact on the use of health IT on the privacy and security of their data.
Right. It's kind of taking the pulse of the public opinion on what the impacts have been from using health IT. The impact on
Was that enough for you guys to put that together into pretty words, or should we work on the wordsmith?
No, I think for me, it says you don't think there's substantive problems here. It's more just a phrasing of our topic area. But it's not clear enough. So that might just be a word change. So, yeah, I think I'm clear what you need.
It's kind of, I mean, I think in the discussion previously, the thinking was that periodically we see surveys published about, you know, the public, X percent of the public feels Y about Z privacy implication or something along those lines. And so you have all these surveys, but the numbers often vary somewhat, and what you hear as a result is a function of the way questions were asked and framed. You know, if they really asked about things that had created a problem for someone, like a data breach where you suddenly start getting notices from your bank that someone's trying to remove money in an unusual way, as compared to your sort of abstract ideas about what privacy means or what you think might be problems. And so the notion is there kind of a compendium of ideas, or do we sort of understand general trends that we can extrapolate from all these disparate surveys and studies that measure different things in different ways and call it privacy and security? If that makes sense.
Did you guys capture that, go and see if that made sense?
Yes.
Okay. And again, the same thing in the second one, the alignment of innovation and regulation specific to privacy and security. So here again, I think there's innovation sometimes gets ahead of the regulatory environment. And when these were proposed, these were meant to be comments specific to privacy and security. Is that fair? Because, I mean, obviously this notion of innovation regulation could be about data structure, it could be about, you know, use, purposes of use, could be about a lot of things besides privacy and security, but these were raised specific to privacy and security, is that correct?
They were.
Okay.
I mean, and taking a fairly broad glance, like, you know, contact tracing, you hear about the benefits of being able to know if you've been around somebody who's potentially been exposed to COVID or perhaps has tested positive, but those innovations, those things were created really fast, and there wasn't a regulatory review about some of the privacy and security implications of some things. You know, they were just kind of put in motion because there was a perceived need. And other things, Internet of Things, some things get some sort of review because of where they fit in terms of device designation, and some things are just kind of apps that go in an app store, and it's not really clear if there was ever any sort of effort to align that with OCR regs, with HIPAA, with, you know, anything. Maybe another way to state that is gap analysis between technology and user implications or something like that.
Specific to privacy and security of data.
Yeah. It gets at the fact that tech moves fast and regulation moves slow, or at least technology and development can move a lot faster than regulations typically.
Says nothing about the actual implementation of the requirements of the regulations.
Or the standards. Yep.
Right. Okay, did you guys get what you need on those two?
So is there language change to the title? You want to say alignment of innovation and regulation regarding privacy and security, or of privacy and security?
Yeah. I think data privacy and security.
Right.
Okay.
I think Aaron joined. Aaron, do you have any comments on this section?
No, I'm just listening to you guys debate it out. I agree with you. but don't let me derail it. Just keep, let's get through this one and we'll go to the next one.
Oh no, Mr. Miri, welcome. Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, it's been one of those days.
I was on full screen. I didn't see your chat, so.
One of those days, Stephen. Anyways, all right.
So now we're in patient access information. Carolyn's the deep bench here.
Okay, so scrolling down. So here we get to the second line item. That's the increased health equity across populations, locations, and situations, accessibility of health IT. The comment there relates to the third column, which now reads, ensure that such information is available to patients and consumers in the same ways that they access other relevant protected health information and facilitate the largest impact and reach. The comment there is based on the recommended activities. Seems like the opportunity is to learn more about barriers for populations experiencing inequities to inform mitigation, intervention actions. So I
could have had a better mouth. That's beautiful. So just from learn to the period, just take that and paste it into the opportunity. Because we have to learn about it first. We have to learn about the barriers, as you point out, before we can ensure information is available.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds fine. Or learn about barriers, blah, 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 and to ensure, or so that we can ensure that such information is available. That way you've got the implication and the point of the thing in it as well. Is that what you needed, Michelle?
Yeah, I was thinking about something similar, so yeah.
Okay. So it looks like that finishes up the table. Do we want to go into the text? Or did you have a different thought for the rest of our time?
So the stories are in place. They're, I took like a word here and there out to make them fit physically because they were wrapping like half a sentence in the next page. So I didn't change any content there. And then we'll add a link to address the one comment that came in from ONC. And then if you want to look through the progress section just to remind yourself of what occurred in last year, that's fine too, if you want to take time there.
Okay, so we should take a look at the stories then, just to double check things, make sure we don't have feedback on them?
Yeah, I think especially the public health one, we'll just make sure we're comfortable with that one. That was one piece of feedback from the ONC review, one expert we reached out to in our policy division outside of my own branch was just saying double check wherever it occurs when you start describing public health that you talk about the correct workflow and correct entities. And I'm actually soliciting some more feedback from external experts where I can to help us clarify that because it's partly a function of the perspective of the members of this work group, and we're not public health experts 100% of our time, so we do the best we can on that piece. It's sort of new to us, some of us at least. So that's one thing we're trying to check for here. So that was one comment to address. But it's not a formal comment. It was sort of like a overall impression in the report to clean that up where it occurs.
Okay. I like the comment here on the security and privacy one with the SRA tool. I think it's a smart call out. That's good. And for the work group members, I would also point you to the fact that the CURES 2.0 draft language bill is out, that bipartisan bill, and a lot of it has to do with public health. So if you read that, you can see where the various offices are leaning towards in terms of ubiquitous data access, some privacy and security concerns about making sure you don't take these registries for long COVID and use it for marketing purposes, et cetera, et cetera. So I think as we look at our stories and you align with what legislators are thinking, they're starting to come together, which is a good thing. It means that we're on the money. All right, Michelle, so you want to take a look at this offline and provide you feedback? Is that the most helpful thing?
Yeah, I think so. I'm receptive to any email comments, and I'll work them into the next version.
Ruby. Okay. What else do we have to do for today?
Just the progress report, if you want to look it over. And for Aaron, you can look at the forward. It's, you know, a cut and paste from last year with some wording changes and some updates around what happened in the past year, but that's for you to review. That's the neat point. And then we often tack that in January, but because we're in good shape and trying to wrap up as much as we can in December while we still have Carolyn, I went ahead and started editing that piece already for you. But you have to sign off on it. It's been kind of boilerplate the last 2-3 years. We're just updating what happened during the year to summarize that piece.
Yeah, I may add like a sentence or something just from me, right, in there that makes it that. So I'll personify it a little bit.
Okay, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And there's a one-page overview section that's again kind of boilerplate about what's in the Cures Act and the target areas. There's objectives and benchmarks, which is ONC written piece. If you see anything there that's a problem, let us know, but it's pretty standardized at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's
almost
word for word on things that came out of our presentation last week for milestones. There was one change of what the columns are titled because we're not doing benchmarks this year. So it's sort of like a look back on the progress in the past year, but looking ahead, they're more willing to call them benchmarks and measures in place. So that's different this year as far as the level of specificity. I think it's progress, and it's 2 pages now instead of just one. Be familiar with that piece. For Stephen's benefit, we being ONC with the work group, decided a couple of years ago to not try to build a report like structured around the benchmarks. It's just too much was up in the air and too far out in the future, and it was holding up any work that the work group could do around current recommendations. So it ends up being content that's there, but it's not really integrated much through the report elsewhere. So that's still an open concern if you want to address that this year, but so far it's been status quo. Let's do what we've done in past years. And part of the reason there is because they're what we're calling benchmarks. And they are benchmarked from year to year. It's about ONC progress against things that are in the report, but it's a more narrow focus. So that was another reason. It didn't fully address all the target areas to the same degree. So this work group decided to not use that as a structure for the report other than to show the content, but then stick to the target areas as the main organizing structure. So we're also open to any fresh eyes or feedback on that decision. It's not set in stone, so if there's feedback of other ways to loop back to these benchmarks somehow through the report, we're welcome to hear that idea. If you have any comments on the progress report, it might also be something you want to look at offline and get back to us. It's, again, following a kind of standard text we use year to year and update based on things that are already public, sort of summarizing each work group task force.
Sounds good.
So I'd let the others know, Aaron, before you joined, that this feedback was important today because it shapes, if there's any structural changes, it shapes what the landscape and gap analysis looks like. And we did have the one about focusing, you might not have been here quite yet, the lab reporting and case reporting to kind of actually remove lab reporting so explicitly because we didn't really follow through together to come up with activities around the lab reporting piece. We can still mention it on lab reporting with a paragraph or two in the landscape analysis, but it may not flow down to the gap analysis or the recommendations as much as it originally imagined. So that is one change I think that came out of today that we'll address in the next draft. And then the draft, it's still in circulation at ONC, the more meaty parts of it. So we're trying to pull that together. The holiday, obviously, is coming up, and some people are out next week. So we're thinking the end of November, early December, we get you a full report draft, and then you could all review that at least once offline, and I can incorporate any comments you have there into the draft that would the group would discuss in the December work group meeting. That's the plan going forward.
Okay.
Then after that, it goes to the full HITACH in January, and that's when the report gets published on the website and made public with through the HITACH meeting in January. Whenever that date's published, we'll know more about that timing.
Looks to me. All right.
Yep.
All right.
That's all I had to ask for the work group to consider. So it's up to you if you have anything else you want to bring up.
No. Do we go to public comment here?
We do. Operator, can we open up the line for a public comment?
Yes. If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for a brief moment to poll.
And while we're waiting, I just want to note that our next work group meeting for the annual report work group will be on December 17th, Friday, December 17th, and hope that you can join us then. Operator, do we have any public comments?
There are no comments at this time.
All right, thank you. Karen? Carolyn?
Oh, awesome. Well, I just want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving next week and happy holidays. Be safe for everybody.
Indeed.
Thank you. We'll see you next
time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, all. Good night. Bye.